We are on our way back right here, and we'll give everybody a few more moments to get on in here. During our break times, we'll try to throw something up music-wise, and the chat room is back open again. We'll start in about 1 minute or so for hour number two tonight. And listen, how you doing? This is the first time we've ever done this. All right, listen, here's the pledge. We'll try to bring the best we can, prayed up as deeply as possible, with the goal of results, victims saved, healed, delivered, and Satan's stuff exposed radically, and God to come in power, even revival striking. That's the goal in all of this. And for you listening, this is providential for you. I hope you understand that. This is absolutely providential for you and all that's going to be happening in your life. I don't think you can listen to this stuff and begin to get involved and begin to consider any of it without realizing that there's things you're going to say, things like, you know what, I've been wanting to do this, you know, for so long. I felt called to get deeper into, you know, the centrality, Christ, evangelism, healing, deliverance, helping. But it involves exposing the enemy and becoming very powerful in spiritual warfare. Well, anyway, this is hour number two, Rust Izdar, the Ragged Edge Late Night. This is our Shatter the Darkness University, the class, the course, the college, the Bible school. Don't forget, on Monday nights, we have a spiritual warfare. It's only meant to beef you up spiritually, Monday nights for 2 hours. This is every Tuesday night for 3 hours. And starting next week, most likely every single week, we'll bring in a guest, expert, or victim, or somebody. We're going to bring somebody in that we'll have an interaction with for the second hour before we get to that third open lines hour. But if you're listening right now, we just got done with the types of Satanism, and a lot of Satanists won't like that. But that's basic. Others who've written about it put it differently. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Number 1, dabbler. Number 2, self-styled. Number 3, psycho-Satanism. Number 4, popular Satanism. Number 5, traditional. Number 6, the occult variety, dark side variety. And then number 7, the ancient brotherhood. That's the real Luciferianism. That's what I think Ezekiel chapter 8 is all about. That's what I think is part of the multi-continental, multinational connection in helping to fuel the development of the Luciferic agenda. When I say Luciferic agenda, here's what I mean. Satan and his collective of fallen angels, demons, not only in their nature and their function, methods and so forth, but their agenda. The broadest agenda is spelled out, just mark this down, Revelation 12, Revelation 13. We're not going to look at it tonight, but just side notes. Now, we're on page 21 if you have the notebook. We always have archives. Glad more are coming in, and glad for all you listening and for all those who are doing this by archive, for law enforcement, anybody else. We might not be exactly perfect in how we do everything. We'll try to beef up our tech, our abilities better and better, but it's urgent, and we have to do this now. Types of satanic occult crimes. That's next on the page 21. Types, simply, we're going to put down 3. Types of satanic and occult crimes. The basic issue is this. Number one, sexual rituals. A lot of sexual rituals among Crowleyanism, all Satanism, in the Satanic Bible, all across the board. Some would refer to sex magic, the energy. Whenever they say energies, they're referring to the presence of the demonic that emanates. That just like I feel the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's presence is felt, and the power, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit is real. Well, real demons manifest real dark power, and sometimes that's interpreted by New Agers and even Satanists and others as energies or sex energy or sex magic stuff. Well, there's dark powers that are intertwined in particular sexual rituals because they have a lot to do with blasphemy, perversion, everything else. In some cases, it may seem mutual, but it includes necrophilia. It includes then sexual rape of younger individuals, So number one, sexual rituals. And literally, listen, I got books and books and books. And there's tons more. I don't even want to buy anymore. I don't want to even look anymore. So that's one thing you're gonna engage, that issue. Number two, the blood rituals. Animal and or human. Blood could be spilled and not kill, but ultimately there's no question they believe that human blood sacrifice. And that's what I see historically in the progression. When you get a little bit into it, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, you're ultimately led to human sacrifice and the blood there, and to do it more and more and more. Because why? Well, as they've told me, it's the number one way to summon powerful demons and bring them to the side. It's the number one doorway, number one gateway. Later on, I'll give you the five primary reasons. You don't have to write this down yet, but unless you want to. But five primary reasons for rituals are to obtain powers himself, number one, to put demon power transferred into the victims or the others in the coven. That's number two. Number three, to release them to cover their coven, their group, to keep themselves spiritually walled in. Number four, to send demons out against their enemies, against pastors, churches, Christians, others, curses. And number five, to send the demons, and this is what they've told me, out into the atmosphere over cities to dirty the air, to bring that. You might say, I feel our city has an oppressive presence. See, they look at it as, oh, we've released, the demonic powers have been released and they're present. That's how they see it. So under types of satanic occult crimes on page 21, sexual rituals, number one, blood rituals, number two, and then number three, the satanic ritual abuse, MPD, the multiple personality side. The rituals that are used in the splitting of human personality, programming, demonizing, and building what they call a chosen one, what they call a special one, what they would consider would be a troop of Antichrist. See, they believe that dark powers empower them. Dark powers give them abilities. So very good, very good. Glad you're here. Listen, I'm going to ask in the chat room, does everybody hear? I'm looking at my stuff, making sure, just to take a second here. Everything is on our side of the fence. Looks like everybody is hearing very well. Sorry if anybody's having any trouble. Once again, if things go out, or I don't care what happens on the internet, if somebody tries to do something, I will continue, and then I'll put the archives. If you ever miss or something goes wrong, we'll try to have the archives. Now, if Jesus comes and I'm out of here, I'm done. I've done all that I'm going to do. Okay, number three things, satanic crimes, ultimately, when you break down all the rituals and all the stuff, number one, sexual rituals, number two, blood rituals, number three, satanic ritual abuse, the rituals that include breaking down human personality and bringing in programming, and those are various. Let me mention one, marriage to the beast. And we'll go into more detail, but as you research all this, you're going to find I'm giving you outline stuff. We're giving you stuff that many have never heard about, but more and more and more, we'll dig into it. On page 21, the bottom, why will we focus on satanic ritual abuse? Why that crime? Why that phenomena? I'm going to give you five. It says four on your page, but I'm going to add a fifth. I'm going to give you five reasons why we're going to focus on the satanic ritual abuse kind of underground Satanism, Luciferianism, the ancient brotherhood stuff. Number one, it's the most secretive and sophisticated and powerful. Number one, it is the most secretive, sophisticated, and most powerful. Number two, in that structure, there is extreme evil with extreme demonic powers. Extreme evil with extreme satanic demonic powers. Number three, because of the victims. Anybody that's worked with one victim for a long time, you know what they've been through. They were born into it. They were raised into it. They were chosen to be in it. They were selected. Preconception rituals, demonized parents, the goal to bring about a demonized child. And in their view, a super child, supernaturally enhanced, demonically charged, and then ultimately controllable. So, because the victims. Now, I will go over again and again, but I'm going to tell you this because of the numbers. In early 1990s, 2.4 million was stated. In the early 2000s, by a Canadian psychiatrist, he was agreeing with 10 million in the United States. In our research, I'm saying on a global scale, 40 million. So out of the five reasons why we're going to focus, number one, it's the most secretive, sophisticated, and powerful. Number two, it is the extreme evil and extreme real dark power. Number three, because of the victims and the how many and what they've been through and how they are helpless without outside help. Number four, the massive underground network they have built, city to city and nation to nation. Number four, the massive underground network. If you find a victim in your area and they're connected to a coven in the area, okay. But in our research, in our tracking, that coven's connected to the other covens, connected to the other covens. And I can confidently say every single city in the United States has the Ezekiel 8 type coven. They're connected. Number four, that's number four, the massive underground network in Germany, in Russia, in England, in Ireland, in France, in the Vatican, in Australia, all throughout Canada. Massive underground network. Number five, I added a fifth. On your page, you have four, but I added a fifth because of the agenda. Again, whether you believe this or not, they believe they're part of the agenda. They believe they're advancing the cause of Satan into the world. That's what they believe. Number five, the agenda. Okay? Let me go over number four. Number four, the massive underground network. That's number four. The massive underground network. Number five, because of the agenda they hold. It's a globalist new order, bringing the Antichrist agenda. You got? All right. We're going to open up to questions in about 45 minutes for the third hour. We're going to have you can either call it in, we'll try to work it that way, or we will, I believe now because we've upgraded to the higher level, so we now have a 1-800 number, I believe, a toll-free number. So you can take a look on that on the screen area, and I'll probably be able to read that out to you, a host call-in number. So we'll look to that pretty soon, but not until about 9:35. We have an hour to do that. Call-ins, questions, but let me give you the rest of this in the next 40 minutes. We are now moving to page 23. Vitally important for all of us. Remember the story I told you about the officer that was fearing a voodoo demonic curse put against him? See, I already know that satanic rituals summoning demons is real. Astral projection demonized is real. The warfare on their side of the fence, sophisticated, it is real. It's all about attacking, releasing powers, curses, spells. They're ramping up. It's massive. So, here's what I'm going to say on page 23. No question, that side operates similar to the body of Christ. Similar to the way God does in the area of salvation, the Spirit of God indwelling, we know in Christ, we have an agenda, the kingdom of God, the advance of the kingdom, the salvation of life. Well, they have an agenda. They have a counterfeit kind of salvation. They have counterfeit but real dark powers. They can have counterfeit every charismatic gifting we have, they have counterfeits too. So, you got to understand, they know their powers. They're doing their stuff. They are Yeah, let me mention that real quick again. And that wasn't in our notes, but just add that to your paper, you know, page 22 or whatever, blank page. The reason for the rituals, number one, to obtain the demons into themselves, power, ability, status. Number two, to release them into their followers or the victims to control them or give them stuff. Number three, to do rituals that will cover them and protect them and guard them. Number four, to summon the demons and send them against pastors, churches, individual people. Ritual warfare. They open the door. They're opening gateways. They're sending things. I think a lot of the sleep paralysis visitations is part of astral projection and ritually released powers. The fifth reason is to release them into the atmosphere. I'm just telling you what they told me, and this has been, you know, again, vetted again and again. They believe they're able to unleash demonic presence in the air and have spiritual darkness over a city. Okay? If you've ever said, hey, you know what? Our city seems very oppressive and oppressed and very dark. That's why I'm saying in the other training course we do, we have a training course called Dark Rituals, Dark Powers that we're going to encourage you to listen to along the way. There's seven indicators whether there's a real coven, a real ancient brotherhood type coven in your city, if they're doing those kind of rituals. If you have a lot of spiritual oppressive, dark powers over your city, if it seems really spiritually dark and cloudy, and the church seems suppressed and silent, that's real. They believe, whether you do or not, that they're helping to manifest the demonic realm in the atmosphere around us. Is not Satan the prince of the power of the air? The Greek word eros, the immediate dense atmosphere above our head. So you've got to know that they are advancing. They have been doing this for, now that we've looked at it, for over 50 years, they've broadened it, unleashed it. They're growing. There's four generations of the development of the victims, which they look at as their super warriors. I've got eight-year-olds that can summon demons in ancient languages or demon-given languages, counterfeit to tongues, to call on spirits or release them. They can draw ritual circles and write ancient languages and have inside of them a deep commitment to the Luciferic cause. So we're on page 23. Under week one, under point number B, spiritual empowerment and biblical backgrounds. As we get into this, I want you to mark down Acts chapter 4. All of us who are believers, I'm going to ask you to do this every week before the course, and I will ask for you to pray for me, because I always know the more we try to do, sometimes the more stuff comes up. Acts chapter 4 shows the body of Christ gathering together. Though they're under threat, they're told to shut up. They gather together. Here's what it says. They raise their voices together to God in prayer. They quoted scripture. They didn't ask to be excused or to run away. They asked for more boldness. And guess what happened? The manifest power of God, the Holy Spirit's power, came so strong on them that it actually shook the physical building. And then the result was they went out witnessing and sharing the word of God. So that's what I'm saying. Ultimately, that's what you want. In all of this, you want to know, well, let's look over the seven things that are needed. Spiritual empowerment, biblical backgrounds, why is this needed? Seven reasons. Let's begin. Number one, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that you are saved. If you're not even saved, you're unprotected, you're lost. And the Bible says, Satan owns you. Satan has rights to you. Now, the Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for us, of course, salvation. 1 John 3:8 says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Listen, it's vital. If you're coming to this class, fine. Whatever your background, fine. You know, if you're really an open-minded person, like everybody says, are you open to God, to the answer of Christ? Why is there Satanism like this, and why is it so big and broad? Because they've got an agenda that's going to rock and shock the world in a new world order. Because Christ is coming again, and they oppose him. So number one, knowing Jesus. Foretold in the Old Testament, hundreds of prophecies, he would come. Born of the Virgin Mary, the Spirit of God caused the conception. You have God and man. You got fully God, fully man, the incarnation. Look what he says. Look what he does. Look at the prophecy he fulfilled. Power over sin, power over nature, creation, power over disease, authority and power over all the demonic. Never sinned. So it's vital to understand Jesus, to know him. He's my joy. He's my Savior. I've known him for 38 years. I didn't know him. I wasn't raised in a church. I was a hellion. I was in bars and fighting, and I was into dabbling into Satanism. I tried to become a Buddhist, and I tried to leave my body. I was into all those powers, and I was completely vulnerable because I was not saved, and I didn't know Christ, and I didn't have his power. And if I would have died in those days, well, I not only would not have been here, I would have been in hell itself. Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's the Savior, my friend. And I hope you know him and you love him and you follow him, and he is everything to you. Number two, to know biblical spiritual warfare. To know biblical spiritual warfare. Experientially, as a pastor and someone out on the field all over the place, overwhelmingly the body of Christ doesn't know the armor of God. 90% don't know the authority of Christ. They wouldn't know how to do a deliverance if they were paid. And that's sad. So there's a great lack, because it came from enormous lack and weakness in leadership and fear and all the rest. But we got to teach all of the scripture. You got saved in the context of spiritual war. Salvation sets you free from Satan's ownership. And now you are in the ownership of God. Jesus gives you authority and tells us to put on the armor of God and to resist the devil that he flees from us, that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. So you got it? You cannot be a good Christian, strong Christian, growing Christian, fruitful Christian without knowing the spiritual warfare principles in Scripture that are there to empower you, protect you, enable you, and make you strong. Okay? Number three. Know the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Know the Word of God well, systematically. You know, if you really know and you're really reading, I mean, look at Jesus. Look how he engaged Satan himself in Matthew 4. Look at the disciples in the Last Supper with Jesus. Simon, Satan is asked to sift you as wheat. Look at Acts chapter 5 when Ananias and Sapphira, Satan entered in to them to try to bring corruption to the church. What about Judas? In the book of the Gospel of John, it says Satan entered him. And he went out and betrayed Christ. So the Word of God, and specifically the prophetic element, is a massive release of God's intel telling us what we need to be, what we can be. And it's all about victory, all about protection, all about empowerment. And telling us what the enemy is like, what he does, and what he's going to do in the world, how it's going to go global, how there'll be the broadest ramping up of the demonic side in human history. We're close to that broadest. I mean, if we're close to the Antichrist, if we're close to the new order out there, you got to understand, all of that has to be in place before it actually breaks out, which means it has to develop, which means that it has to have all the powers. So I'm going to say this. This is my personal view. In all the years that we've tried to counterinflate, go under, do what we did do to research, like Ezekiel 8, Say, God, show us, take us all the way in. I believe we've only seen 10%, maybe 15%. I believe the other 85% of what's going on is still cloaked in satanic dark power and under their physical secrecy laws. You believe there's a shadow government out there? Politics, economics, military, a system coming? So do I. And it's all rooted in this. There is no system, there is no globalism, there is no Antichrist without the real powers. And the biggest way, and they say, and we realize, is the human sacrifice and the rituals. So, number three, the Word of God. Know the Word of God well. Number four, become as powerful in prayer as possible. Number four, become as powerful in prayer as possible. Dedicate yourself to become powerful, to get great answers, miraculous answers. Miracles can occur. Revivals come about because of prayer. And using your authority to pray against the dark side. Realize how weak the church collectively is, the body of Christ, gathering together. Think about wherever you gather, how many, you know, probably, what, 30 seconds of prayer? Where's the massive intercession? Where's the use of the authority Christ gave us against the dark side? This is our incredible weaponry, the great power of God. Look at Acts 4. They raised their voices together to God in prayer. They really wanted, they quoted Scripture, they wanted boldness to do more. They got it. Directly answered. Shook the building. They took off witnessing and people got saved, healed, and delivered. Number five, develop great faith. Number five, develop great faith. Hebrews 11 talks about you can't please God without faith, right? 11 verse 6. You look down a little bit. By faith, they conquered kingdoms. By faith, they administered justice. Jesus said, I tell you, you know, nothing's impossible for the one that believes. I believe there's great miracles, greater healing, greater things could be done as we seek the Lord and we step out in faith based on the Word of God, clearly known. Great things could be done. Your faith will grow. You step out. That's how you grow. You believe God. If you really believe God, you step out in obedience. Great faith. Number six, Holy Spirit power. To be clothed with power from on high, to know the power of the Holy Spirit, His leading, His guiding, His presence, how He speaks, He's in the Word speaking to you, and knowing His charismatic giftings and workings, all through the course will encourage that. Simply repent of all sin, yield to the Lord Jesus, yield your life and ask Him to clothe you, fill you. Some people use the term baptize me. You know, God wills to give you the power and fullness of the Holy Spirit. And God wills to give gifts and show you the work of the Holy Spirit to where we can be filled with dunamis, real power, and building us to be. And again, by the expressed, felt, real power of the Holy Spirit, guess what? We're going to become more and more fearless. And we're going to win souls, and we're going to pray for healing others, and we're going to be bold in our stance against demonic presence in people, let alone in cities and towns. Make a little note right here. A second-generation Christian, Philip, Acts chapter 8. Second-generation believer, Philip, Acts chapter 8. Look what he did. One individual on fire for Christ in obedience. No doubt he was prayer powerful, and in faith he was stepping out, and the power of the Holy Spirit was on him. And he goes into a city that had demonic power all over it, demonized people within it. People got saved, healed, and demons were cast out. It even says the demons were screaming on the way out. The end of the story is that whole region, that whole city, was filled with joy. So Acts chapter 8, know that picture. And that's point number seven, the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Just really steep yourself there to see what God did. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So number one, knowing Christ. Number two, knowing deeply spiritual warfare. Number three, knowing the Word of God well. Number four, knowing and becoming powerful in prayer. Number five, becoming broader in faith and stepping out and believing. Number six, the power of the Holy Spirit. Number seven, really take a look at the examples in the book of Acts. Okay, how you doing? Blessings to you. Let's keep ourselves up in prayer. The Lord bless you and strengthen you, and may the Lord deliver all those who are listening, and may the Lord Jesus Christ stretch out his hand to destroy the demonic realm and all of his attacks, and deliver all, and grant his power, and grant all of us to know Christ better, to know spiritual warfare better, to know the Word of God better, to become powerful in prayer better, to step out in faith more, to know the power of the Holy Spirit, and to do what they did in the book of Acts. Okay? Page 23, next point down is your spiritual power. I'm going to give you the five A's. Now, I have this on the web at different places, the five A's. And I'm telling you all this now because, you know, we talked about the dark side. We're going to talk a lot about that along the way. But constantly coming back to our center, Christ, and you know, walking with him, the mission, and so forth. I'm going to tell you right now the five A's that I'm going to give you. Every believer should have these down. It's normal discipleship. But if you're in this and you're going to really be out there evangelizing, and if you're going to say, God, lead me to find victims and help me to get involved and pray against the dark side, okay. This should be the part of every single believer's life. Number one, being aware. Here's the five A's. Being aware. You know, in 1 Corinthians, we read about Paul saying that he's not unaware of the devil's schemes, right? And that's a good thing. Unaware. I'm going to go look at something here real quick. But unaware, it's part of, it's 2 Corinthians 2:11 speaks of it this way. In order that Satan might not outwit us, the word outwit has the idea of taking advantage of you, running circles. Do you want Satan to run circles around you? Do you believe he's running circles around believers and churches? Well, the good thing from the experience of Paul, led by the Spirit of God, he's saying, you know, about in order that Satan might not outwit us. This is why. He says this, for we are not unaware of his schemes. We are not unaware or ignorant of his schemes. That word unaware or ignorant there is the Greek word meaning willfully. That we are not willfully by choice hiding from, knowing about spiritual warfare, knowing about the enemy. You know, we're not playing games with just accepting what we want from the scripture and what we want from discipleship. No, Paul said, and this is a PowerPoint for you. Not being aware lends towards weakness and defeat. If you are extremely aware of how Satan operates, what his methods are, what the agenda is, if you are by the Spirit of God, if you're taught, what does God say Satan is like? What does God say he does? What does God say he goes after? What is his methods of doubt, countering the word, bringing fear? Do you know these things? Awareness is a good thing. So mark down 2 Corinthians 2:11. Very important to be really aware, and that's part of that building the Word of God and knowing and purposely, you know. Do you want to know how the enemy works? Are you sick and tired of being beat up along the way? Awareness is vital. Many Christians that are not aware are getting beat up. They think they're just depressed. They go to get counsel. They get words. Nothing happens. They don't understand spiritual oppression, spiritual attack. They're not aware. They're not aware of Ephesians 6. Not being aware lends towards weakness and defeat. Being aware keeps you protected and lends itself to your deeper growing and confidence. Awareness. Number two, alert. Alert. That's from the Greek word gregoruo. Alert is, let me give you two verses. Alert is found in Colossians 4, chapter 4, verse 2. When the Spirit of God tells all believers, hey, be devoted to prayer. Be absolutely committed to consistent prayer. And then being watchful or watching. And then with thanksgiving. I know what thanksgiving is. Praising God. I was doing that all day today. Thanking God for all the good things. Reminds me how good he is. I love him. Prayer, devoted to prayer. Yeah, praying for you today. I was praying for you earlier today. All those coming in. Praying way ahead of time. Because I've learned what it is to preempt things. But the word watch, gregoruo. It's used in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, when the Spirit of God commands us to be sober and alert. That's the same word, watch. The Greek word literally has the idea of being spiritually vigilant, never spiritually passive. No spiritual couch potatoes. Vigilant, spiritually. It has the idea that you're looking for the impending danger. Not danger from God, who loves you, who's working, Romans 8:28, who's working for your good if you love him and called according to his purpose. Okay? Vigilant, that you're looking in your, Lord, what's the enemy doing against me? What's the, you know, you, this is in prayer. It's just normal part of my daily prayer as I pray for lost and pray for others and praise God. And, you know, I just do what Colossians 4:2 says. I do what 1 Peter 5:8 says. You know? To be alert because your devil, your enemy, the devil, is roaming around like a roaring lion. So alertness has the idea of you're making sure, is the enemy sending any arrows towards you? What's the enemy doing? Lord, it's like the disciples in that they didn't ask that. They didn't even look for that. They were not alert. They were not watching. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Remember how Jesus said that to him? Satan came in, scattered all of them, beat them all up. They're out there running around, hiding and fearful, and Peter's cussing, and because the enemy hit. Are you alert on a daily basis for yourself? You ever pray, Lord, is the enemy coming against my family? Have you ever prayed as a good person connected in the body of Christ, Lord, what's the enemy trying to do against our local fellowship? I want to pray against that. I want to stand against that. You'll learn to become Holy Spirit-led and preemptive. Alert, like a watchman. 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verse 8. And you can read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7, 8, and 9 in context is best. So be alert, be alert. You don't drive your car down the road with your eyes closed, do you? You do not drive your car down the road with your eyes closed. A lot of believers are living their spiritual life with their spiritual eyes closed. Not even a consideration. So in the middle of my daily prayer time, praise time, intercessory prayer time, everything else, I'm also wide open. Lord, is the enemy doing anything? Give me a heads up, Lord. I have my authority to pray against the work of the enemy. Are there any arrows the enemy's sending against me that I need to reject and put down? Is there any ritual warfare coming against us? Do I want to clear the air around me when I feel oppression? I've learned you can change the sense of atmosphere around you in a few moments. Standing up and rebuking anything around you out loud and putting up the prayer and the praise. God inhabits the praise of his people, right? And God wants to be manifesting through your life as a believer. Power. That's what the armor of God's all about. But alertness allows the Holy Spirit to, really use all your faculties. So spirit-lit eyes, spirit-lit discernment, spirit-lit perception with the idea of saying, Lord, what's the enemy doing? Because I'm going to stand here to resist him, rebuke him, and pray against what he's doing for me, my family, those around me, my nation. Okay? Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2. Number three, the authority. The authority we need, Luke 10. Now read the whole gospel. Luke 10, very important, okay? But verse 18, 19, down around there, you know, he sends the disciples out to unleash the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, and to pray for healing, and to command demons. They come back saying, they're shocked. They're saying, wow, I want law enforcement to hear me. I want counselors to know, because in this spiritual battle in your personal life and when you're dealing with things, If you understand your authority and that you have been given that to crush the demonic realm, to speak against it, to rebuke them, and so forth, the disciples came back in Luke chapter 10 and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us, the spirits, they submit to us in your name. The idea is, in the name of Jesus, they were ordering them, commanding them out of people, and under the authority of Christ that he gave them and he gives us, they had to obey. Now, we've seen that hundreds and hundreds of times, but I've also seen it in my personal life when I felt something was sent against me, when I felt something was going on, when I felt oppressiveness around me. To stand up and just out loud, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of here. I don't know what's going on, but in the name of Jesus, get out of here. Lord, just deliver me right now from the work of the enemy. Crush and destroy, based on 1 John 3:8, destroy the work of the enemy. The Lord rebuke you, Satan, and then I stand there and praise. I do that until I feel a change. Darkness recedes, and I feel the power and presence and joy of the Lord Jesus. A lot of Christians can get out of their so-called depression. It's not depression. It's spiritual oppression. You see, if you are aware, the enemy is going to do all these things and going to do this stuff, but then you become alert. You start practicing in your prayer time, practicing daily. As you go to worship, as you go to pray and intercede, as you go to unleash prayers, if you pray about your own daily needs, as you seek the Lord and talk to the Lord, as you open the Word of God, then you also take time. Lord, I stand in church doing this. Wherever I go, in the middle of the worship, everything, I just all of a sudden I'll stop. I'll look around. Lord, what's going on? Is the enemy doing anything? Lord Jesus, go after anything the enemy's doing. Is there anybody here demonized? You know, Lord, we come against that. Is there anything that needs to be manifest so we can deal with it? Let's bring it up. Let's do it. Let's deal with it. Let's get people free in the name of Jesus. Okay? Authority, and here's the simple thing. Because all the conferences, and the worst was when I was in Branson, and I asked 90% of the audience that I had, the one group, didn't know what authority was all about. All Christians, well, basically, supposedly, I mean, it was like a Christian conference. So you got all these Christians, some being Christians 20, 30 years, 40 years. They don't know what authority is. They've never been taught because the people teaching them lacked. So if you're unaware, number one, then you're in trouble. If you're not alert, you're in trouble. You're going to be beat up. Number three, if you don't know your authority, you're really just going to like run and hide, live in fear. So spiritual authority is this. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, you read the verse. Jesus says, it's in the perfect tense in the Greek. It's like a permanent possession. I have given you authority. What's it for, Lord? There's a mission. To trample on snakes and scorpions, that is to crush them. To overcome all the power of the enemy. Okay, that's important. That's important. Now, here's what you do. If you're a believer that didn't know this before authority, I want you to do this. How do you appropriate? How do you just accept? A lot of things the Scripture teach us that we're believers and we're saved, and the promises we have and what we have in Christ. Here's all I teach everybody to do. Lord Jesus, pray it out if you want to. Lord Jesus, I accept the full authority that you give to me as you did in Luke chapter 10. I accept that authority and I accept the mission. I accept what I'm supposed to do with it. I am supposed to crush, trample the dark side presence, and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and you said nothing would harm me. Do you believe Jesus? You believe him for your eternal salvation. Will you believe that scripture? Will you accept it and accept the authority? I've led teenage Christians to accept that authority, and I've watched them cast out demons. Doesn't matter if you're 17 or if you're 37. If you, as a believer in Christ, accept what God has given you in Christ, I accept the authority you've given me, and Lord, I'm willing to use it. Start using it in your personal life. I decided some years ago, Lord, I'm going to use the authority of Christ as far as I can. Not just in deliverance with demons, but if I felt the enemy around me because I have authority, The authority is for you to order them, command them. Get out of here, leave me. The Holy Spirit's to make you aware of things. He can speak to you. Listen, mark down Acts chapter 8. You'll read where it says this. When Peter or Philip was out witnessing, he said, the Holy Spirit said, go over there and stand by that chariot. Do you remember that? The Holy Spirit said, go over there and stand by that chariot. Does the Holy Spirit work in the context of a spiritual warfare? You better believe it. So I'm in my prayer time, I'm aware of the enemy's works, and then I'm alert, and I know my authority, and I know the arm. And so if I'm praying, Lord, what's the enemy doing? The Holy Spirit says, well, you know, there's this, you know, tells me directly. Just like the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go stand by that chariot. And he led that guy to Christ. And I find that happens a lot in real evangelism when you're on the field. But in spiritual warfare, that's what I wanted to do years ago. And I did that today. You know, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, anything I should be aware of that I should, in the name of Jesus, rebuke, resist the devil so he'll flee from me, and, you know, whatever else. I do general prayers overall, praying, because we got people from all over the place cursing and sending demons and saying this and whatever else. So I just preempt. I just cover myself daily. And I truthfully, years ago in the 80s, 90s, when we were dealing with a lot of stuff, I feel like we got beat up a lot until we learned how to be more aware, more alert, and then have that authority to rebuke and clear the air around me. After I do deliverances and demons gone, after I leave and start to go home, I might just say, in the name of Jesus, I command any demon that's going to come back in revenge or, you know, for the enemy to come, I rebuke you, get out of here. Lord, deliver me from any backlashes, and just start praising Jesus. You will have greater spirit, Holy Spirit confidence, joy, a sense of the shielding and power of God. You ever read 1 Peter chapter 1, where it says that we are guarded? The Greek word means shielded, that we are shielded by God's power through faith in Christ. Who are we shielded from? Dark side powers. Right? Number 4, the armor of God. Now, I've got this on the website, and I've got links to it, so you can go get all of this in any other, you know, detail or re-go over it. But again, Romans 6, it begins with where we're called to be empowered with the mighty, you know, strength of God. And it's the idea when in Ephesians 6, the call is for us to allow ourselves to be mightily empowered with the strength of God, the idea of the manifest strength and empowerment beaming through us, in a sense, in and through us. How do you do that? Put on the armor of God. How can you have the power and the might of God just pouring in and through you? Put on the armor of God. The Greek word for this is in the imperative. Put it on and leave it on. I know some people say put it on every day. Well, if you take it off, okay, but I don't take it off. I might say, Lord, do I have everything on? I might evaluate, but God says there, the Holy Spirit says, put it on, put the full armor of God on so you can take your stand against the day of evil. Because not only does Satan come at times with just warfare, he sets up things like he did with Job. He sets up a time to come and bring attack. The armor of God, well, it involves being it involves the full manifest power and strength of God in and through you. The truth, the righteousness, the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, lifting up the shield of faith to extinguish all the flaming arrows. Now, I'm going over that more on Monday nights if you want more on this. And about prayer and the power of the Spirit. So that's important. The armor of God is natural and normal for us to be in because we're in the context of spiritual war. Look how God, the Holy Spirit, says, your enemy, you know, it's not flesh and blood. Your battle's not flesh and blood. Right? It's the principalities and powers and the rest. And so you and I are commanded to put on the full armor of God so we can be in the manifest power and strength of God and stand. Armor of God, then number 5 is action. If you're aware of the enemy's works, If you're alert on a daily basis in the context of your prayer and walk and so forth, if you use your authority as necessary and preemptively, if you're standing in the armor of God, well, action is putting the Word of God into practice, James chapter 1. If you listen to the Word tonight and don't put it into practice, you're deceiving yourself. If you put the Word of God into practice, you'll be blessed. You become stronger, more protected. So action. It's vital. Absolutely vital. Now, I want to mention something here because we're coming close to the second hour, the end of the second hour, and I want to mention that, you know, what spiritual resource? I see at page 23, and again, if you're coming in, we want to welcome all, more and more coming into the chat room, more and more listening live, and hundreds to the thousands of you will listen to the archives later on. On page 23 of the workbook, I ask the question, what spiritual resource did Russ mention? I'm going to recommend a book. You can get it, you know, the only reason I go to Amazon when I get really, really used books and get them cheap, but it's the book called A Blaze for God, A Blaze for God by Wesley Duell. A Blaze for God. If you just Google it in, or if you go to Amazon even just to look at it and type it in, it'll come up. A Blaze for God by Wesley Duell. I'm just saying, I mean, your scripture is number one, your walk is number one, but if you want something that's going to really feed you and bless you and lead you to just desiring every ounce of God's depth and to be a blaze for God, I've read that book two or three times. I've probably bought 20 copies to give away. I got four or five used copies right here, purposely to give to individuals. So I love, and I might even start reading it, rereading it again, because it's such a blessing. So I'm just encouraging you with an extra resource if you want to read the book A Blaze for God by Wesley Duell. And you don't have to, but I'm just encouraging you. I don't know him at all. Love to meet him. But a great one, okay? Listen, we are down almost to the second hour, and what's going to happen in the third hour is this. In a moment here, I'm going to take a break. You're going to hear music again. I'm going to take a break, and you can go to the bathroom, get a cup of coffee, whatever you do. Take a few moments, about 3 to 4 minutes break. We'll come back. In 10 minutes, I'll go over page 25, kind of a resource page. And then I will open up the chat room to questions and/or take call-ins also, new call-ins. So number one on page number 23, the book that I'm mentioning for your blessing is A Blaze for God by Wesley Duell. And it's just a great, you don't have to, but saying it's a you can get it used for a dollar or two, and it's just a great reference. And if you begin to read, you'll see why. You tell me. Some of you that do read it, you tell me later if you think it's a good book at all. I'm sure you'll give it to others to bless them. Other than that, let's take a little bit of a break here. 4 minutes, you're going to hear. You're going to hear some music, and I hope we're still on. We better check out here.